The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint every day, as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor freshens your mouth and sweetens your breath. The pleasant chewing eases tension, helps you feel better, and get more enjoyment out of what you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The South American Way.
And now the front seat, sir. Notice, please, the coordination of the instruments. The placement of the speedometer. The indirect lighting on the gear shift lever.
Is this him coming in the door now?
Yes, that's him. Just touch the button right there, sir, and the seat will move forward.
He's going into the office. Do you think I ought to go
in? Don't worry. When there's a customer on the floor, he knows it. In 5 minutes, he'll be out here to see that I make the sale.
A go-getter type, huh?
He sells more cars than any dealer within 200 miles of Dallas.
Well, that's the way I like him, Sancho. Well-heeled and full of confidence. Do I just walk right into the office?
Yes, his girl is out to lunch.
Okay, here goes.
Good luck.
Okay, Sancho.
Come in.
Oh, Mr. Payson.
That's right, sir.
I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Payson. My name is Duville. I'm with the New Orleans Daily Times. I was just looking one of your cars.
Yes, I see you were, sir, and I hope Mr. Vero was taking good care of you. He's only been with the agency a few months.
Oh, Mr. Vero is taking very good care of me, sir. I'm afraid that's the trouble.
The trouble?
See, I guess I asked him a couple of pointed questions, and obviously he was trying to cover up.
Cover up what?
Mr. Payson, how well do you know Mr. Vera?
Well, I don't know him at all, really. He answered an ad for a salesman. He knows cars from top to bottom.
Well, he ought to, believe me.
Well, now, don't tell me that I've hired some international crook or something fantastic like that.
No, no, he's not a crook, Mr. Payson, but he is something of a fantastic character. Would you mind asking him in here? I want your reaction when I call him by his right name.
In 1935, a young Mexican boy with a handsome face and a glib tongue walked across the border into Texas and conferred on himself the blessings of U.S. citizenship. As he grew up, Sancho Loza perfected a number of minor swindles. But it was not until 1949, when he met Edward Duville, that he started on his way to spectacular financial success. Duville was a sharp swindler in his own right, and the two men in combination had worked out quite an ingenious racket.
Trump. I saw this reporter fellow looked him right in the eye, and he said, "It's a pleasure to see you again, Señor Don Sancho Estramadura." Well, you should have caught the look on Sancho's face. He opened his mouth.
Roy?
Yeah, what?
Do you think I ought to give a garden party for Don Sancho? I mean, now that we know...
Dolly, can't you get it through your head? I promised Sancho, and so did this reporter...
Now, Roy, if his name is Don Sancho, maybe you better not call him just plain Sancho.
Now, look here, Dolly. I don't care what his name is. As far as I'm concerned, he's still a car salesman.
Couldn't I have a quiet cocktail party just for friends?
No, you can't.
But how am I going to not tell anybody? I mean, after all...
You're going to not to tell anybody because you want a new coat this season, that's why.
Oh.
Dolly, don't you see? Those South American politicians are still looking for Sancho.
Are they? Why?
Well, I just explained it 2 minutes ago.
I guess I was thinking of something else.
Yes, I know. The society column, Mrs. Roy Payson, entertains former Minister of Defense for...
That's what I don't understand, Roy. If he was Minister of Defense...
All right, Dolly, for the last time. Now, first, you know where this country is in South America?
Why, of course, it's on the left-hand side of the map.
Okay, okay. So, Sancho owned these tin mines and an automobile assembly plant and an aircraft factory. And he was so rich, they made him Minister of Defense.
Why?
I don't know why. They just did. Anyway, there was this revolution, and Sancho's side lost, and he had to get out fast. He couldn't even take any money.
Roy, do you think I could...
No, you can't tell your sister Agnes. She's the biggest blabbermouth from here to Dallas.
Well, who can I tell?
Nobody for the present. We're keeping this to ourselves, Dolly. And if something good comes of it, we'll get our share. Don't worry.
when Loza and Duville had set up a victim. The next step after the revelation of Loza's phony identity was to expose the bait just a little further without actually offering the whole scheme to view.
Well, come in, Sancho. Come right in.
I'm sorry to bother you during business hours, Mr. Payson.
Nonsense. That's what I'm here for. And look, why don't we drop this Mr. business? Just make it plain Roy, eh? Now, what's on your mind, Sancho?
Well, frankly, I need some advice, Roy.
You want advice from me?
If you don't mind.
Well, I don't guarantee it'll be any good, but if I can help...
Well, it is about this reporter, this Duville. Did you know he was still here in Sage City?
No. Is he?
Yes. I must confess I enjoy his company. And now he has made me a rather strange proposition.
Yeah? How do you mean?
Well, he seems to have found out a great deal about me. I suppose it is common knowledge that I managed to hide a sizable amount of foreign security somewhere in my country.
Before the revolution, huh?
Yes. I was afraid the government would change sometime and, well... A million and a half in American stocks and bonds would provide for my modest needs elsewhere.
I guess they would.
Unfortunately, the revolution arrived before schedule, and my stocks and bonds are still where I hid them.
A million and a half?
By today's quotations. Well, this Duville has made a very daring proposition. For a share in the securities, he will undertake to get to my country, pretending to be on an assignment for a magazine, and bring the securities here to me.
Well, that would be some deal, huh?
Yes, it would. If I could trust him.
Oh?
That is the question. Can I trust this man?
Well...
What would you do in such a situation, Roy?
Well...
Naturally, I would have to pay his expenses, and there would be people to bribe. $8,000 to $10,000 would cover it. But can I trust a man I met only 2 weeks ago? How do you feel about a thing like that?
Well...
I want your advice, Roy. What you say now will mean a great deal to me, I assure you.
Back to the South American way in just a moment. You know, friends, one reason you'll enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is that it helps to keep your mouth feeling so fresh and clean. The lively, full-bodied flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint is really cooling and refreshing. Besides, the chewing itself gives you comfort because it helps to keep your mouth and throat pleasingly moist. Helps keep your teeth clean and bright, too. Try it and see for yourself. Chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum while you work, while driving your car, out walking, and in your home. See how this delicious chewing gum helps to keep your mouth feeling fresh, cool, and clean. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get some next time you go to the store. And now, Act Two of tonight's story, The South American Way.
Among the many victims of Loza and Duville from Texas to California was a motion picture director in Hollywood who had been taken for $10,000. Agent Reynolds and I talked with this man who had a very low opinion of the glib Don Sancho.
And what's more, I even gave this phonus Bolonus a bit part in the picture I was doing at the time.
Where did you meet Loza, Mr. Emery?
I didn't meet him. He was driving a sound truck in one of my units on location.
How were you approached on his South American story?
Oh, that was really staged by him and that Duville character. We gave a press party out in the desert. Duville got himself invited as a representative of some New Orleans paper. Then he discovered Loza, or Estra Madura, or whatever his name is. I fell for the story like a regular yokel.
And you contributed $10,000 to finance Duville's trip to South America.
Uh-huh. Of course, some of that dough was for bribing government officials. Boy, was I taken.
Did you actually use Loza as an actor?
Sure. I even paid his union dues. I thought he was a perfect Spanish type.
Mr. Emery, would it be possible for us to get the section of film with Loza in it? We haven't any pictures of him.
You sure can. I'll give you a blow-up as big as this studio if it'll help catch him. I've got this print labeled George Emery Sucker.
You aren't Don Sancho's only victim, Mr. Emery.
Maybe not, but I'll bet I'm the only one who got taken in full Technicolor.
Armed with almost 100 feet of film showing Loza from numerous angles, we distributed wanted circulars to every law enforcement agency in the Southwest. In addition, Loza's picture was printed for distribution to post offices all over the country. We had no lead at all on Edward Duville.
Well, frankly, Mr. Duville, I don't see how you will need $10,000 for expenses. Do you see it, Roy?
Well, 10 does seem a little high.
Senor Estramadura, or shall I call you Vera?
I prefer Vera for the present.
Oh, Senor Vera, I've lived in your country, don't forget that. And I'm figuring on greasing plenty of palms. After all, the government has taken over that villa of yours. I'll have to pay somebody to even get near the place.
Yes, perhaps you are right.
Of course I'm right. I've got to get back to New Orleans tomorrow, Mr. Vera, so I want a quick answer on this offer of mine. You can call me at the hotel. But don't wait too long. I'll be gone tomorrow night.
Very well, Mr. Duville.
Of course, I've got one suggestion that might work, Mr. Vera.
Yes?
Cut Mr. Payson in our deal. Maybe he'll put up the money. No offense, Mr. Payson, but if you can get 25,000 profit for an investment of 10, I'd say it was a pretty good gamble, eh? Well, I'll be waiting to hear from you, Mr. Vera.
That is a very brash young man. I'm not sure I should trust him at all.
Well, if you want my opinion,
Of course I want your opinion. That is why I asked you to be present at this meeting.
Well, sir, in my opinion...
And as for his suggestion that you come in our deal, forget about that. You are my friend, Roy. Friendship and money do not mix.
Well, no, I'm not so sure of that.
Oh, no. I cannot ask you to take a chance on a man like Duville. Of course, $10,000 isn't really money, but at least half of my securities are negotiable, and if he decided to keep them for himself... Are you a good judge of character, Roy?
Well, I think you have to be if you want to get anywhere in business these days.
Very well. I'm going to leave this up to you. To trust Duville or not to trust Duville, that will be the question. And now I am hungry. Shall we have lunch?
So I said, I've already made up my mind, Sancho.
I wish you'd call him Don Sancho, Roy. If a person is of noble extraction, you always call him by...
You think he's noble extraction?
Well, goodness, you can tell it just by looking at him, can't you?
Yeah. Say, Dolly, what would you think if I put a little money into this deal?
How do you mean, Roy?
Well, Sancho... Don Sancho hasn't got any cash right now, so if I put up the money for Duville's trip... Of course, I'm not saying I will. But if I did...
How much, dear?
$10,000. I know it's a lot of money.
And how much would you get back?
25, plus my original 10.
That's 150% profit.
It is?
Of course.
Yeah, I guess it is then. Hey, wait a minute. You aren't telling me to go in on this thing, are you?
No, of course not.
Then what are you telling me?
Nothing, Roy. But it seems to me if all Mr. Duville has to do is go down there and get Don Sancho's security...
Well, that isn't quite all, Dolly. It's just possible he might get shot or put in jail or even run off with the stuff when he got it.
I know, but you always say you can't get any place looking on the gloomy side of a business deal.
Then you think I should go into this, huh?
No, I don't say that.
Well, what do you say, for goodness sakes?
Well, what I say is a person has to make up their own mind, but... If someone of noble extraction wanted me for a partner, I don't think I'd hesitate very long, believe me.
Back to the South American way in just a moment. Friends, here's a modern, sensible way to satisfy that little hungry feeling you sometimes get between meals, especially when you want to go light. Chew a stick of refreshing, delicious Wrigley Spearmint Gum. You see, Wrigley Spearmint Gum is never rich or filling, yet it does satisfy your taste and give you that little pickup you want. Helps to tide you over until mealtime. It's one reason why Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum is the favorite between meal treat of millions. Always keep a package of Wrigley Spearmint Gum right with you. And when you get that little hungry feeling but want to go light, chew a stick of this good tasting gum. That's Wrigley Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now, Act Three of tonight's story, The South American Way.
Hey,
Sancho Loza's picture in post offices all over the Southwest. It was not a coincidence that Mrs. Roy Payson came across a familiar profile on the wall of the Houston Street office in Sage City.
Good morning, Mr. Winthrop.
Well, good morning, Miss Payson. It's a fine day, isn't it?
Yes, it is. May I have 53s and 10 airmails, Mr. Winthrop?
Yes, indeed you may. 53s, 10 airmails. And how's Mr. Payson these days?
Oh, he's fine, thank you.
I don't see him much anymore. I guess he's kind of busy, huh?
Yes, he is. I tell him not to work too hard, but he just says he...
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, dear.
Something the matter, Miss Payson?
Oh, dear me.
Oh, what's the trouble, ma'am?
That picture. There must be some mistake.
Which one? Oh, wanted for murder? Oh, the darn kids drew a mustache on him last night and haven't had time to erase it yet.
No, this one. Wanted by the FBI, Sancho Loza.
Oh, him. Now, don't tell me there's anything wrong with him. He just come in last week. You know, I try to keep those things clean, but you give a kid a hunk of crayon... Well, see, Miss Payson, you look kind of sick, if you don't mind my saying so.
There couldn't be two of them, could there?
Two of what, ma'am?
Of him. I mean, if he looks like someone we know.
This one?
Yes.
Well, this fellow's a swindler. Says here he makes out like he's a millionaire from South America. Well, that sound familiar?
I'm afraid it does. Oh, what should I do, Mr. Winthrop?
Well, first off, you pay me $2.10 for these stamps if you want them. Then, if I was you, I'd notify the federal authorities, just like it says here on the circular. They'll know what to do.
Mrs. Payson notified our bureau and then went immediately to her husband's office to tell him what had happened. Unfortunately, Mr. Payson was not tending to his automobiles that morning. He was in Edward Duville's hotel room, where his mind was on more adventurous business.
9,800, 9,900, 10,000. Well, you said you needed the money in cash. You got it.
You're a man of your word, Mr. Payson.
I think this calls for a drink, gentlemen. If my employer will permit.
Oh, your employer. That's a hot one. In a couple of weeks from now, you can buy me, my agency, and half this town if you want to.
Perhaps.
With $1.5 million in securities.
I'll call it $1.625 million. The market went sky high again today.
All right, $1.625 million. I'll drink to that.
Here you are, Mr. Duville.
Well, maybe I'd better not, Mr. Vera. I think I ought to push off. I'm going to make that 1 o'clock train.
Perhaps you are right.
Oh, just a quickie, Mr. Duville. It'd be bad luck for us to send you off without a little something to keep you warm.
I've got $10,000. That ought to keep me pretty warm.
Well, maybe it will at that.
I remember my first $10,000. I was only 18 years old. I thought that was an awful lot of money.
Isn't it?
Of course, Mr. Duville. It is a great deal of money when you haven't got it. Your drink, sir.
Thank you. Well, here's to us, gentlemen. May we always have what it takes.
Salud.
No, maybe that's my taxi.
Hello? Yes, indeed, he most certainly is. Just a moment, please. Your wife, Roy.
My wife? Now what's on her mind? Hello, Dolly. I'm very busy, dear. If you need any shopping money, I... Yes, dear. Yes, I'm listening. All right, dear. Go ahead. Huh? Yachty mind. Where? Are you sure, Dolly? Oh, I see. Yes, you were... you're being very wise, dear. Yeah. Well, I've already given it to him, but... Yes, you do that, dear. Immediately. Goodbye.
Well, I guess I'd better be moving along, gentlemen.
Very well. Do a successful trip and a quick return, Mr. Duville.
Thank you, sir.
Roy?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Many happy returns.
One will do, thanks. Mr. Payson, sir, as we say in New Orleans.
Mr. Duville, where are you carrying the money?
Right here in the inside pocket.
Oh, that isn't very safe, is it?
Well, don't worry.
You mind if I show you a better way to carry that?
Well,
you know, a pickpocket once took my wallet right out of that pocket. I have a foolproof way of carrying money. Do you mind if I show you?
Well, look, I don't want to be rude, but my train...
Let Mr. Payson show you, Mr. Duville, if he feels strongly on the subject.
I sure do feel strongly.
Well, okay. Here you are. Now, where do I put it?
Well, the best place for a large sum of money like this is downstairs in the hotel safe.
What do you suppose brought that on?
Hey, Mr. Payson! What got into him?
I don't know, Eddie, but I don't like it.
Well, neither do I, walking over that door like that.
A very unfriendly gesture.
Very. Sancho, do you think his wife said something to him?
I'm afraid she didn't.
Well, what did she say?
I don't think we'd better stay around and find out.
Neither do I.
You suppose there is a back way out of here?
We're sure enough going to find out. Come on. Uh-oh.
What?
Cops, too.
Oh.
Sancho, we're in trouble.
Is it too far to jump?
5 floors.
We're in trouble.
What are we going to do?
I'm open to suggestions.
How about finishing this bottle?
Might as well. It may be the last drink we get for a long time. In just a moment, Mr. Officer. We'll be right with you. Drink up, Eddie. This is going to be very unpleasant when the door opens. Salud, amigo.
With no possible defense, Sancho Loza and Edward Duville entered pleas of guilty to numerous counts of fraud and were sentenced to 3 years each in prison. As model prisoners, their terms will soon be up, and it is hoped that they will not resume the South American way.
Remember, friends, to help keep your mouth feeling fresh and clean, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, refreshing flavor in it, and you can chew a stick just about any time and any place. Then, too, while you're sinking your teeth into this good-tasting gum, the natural chewing action is helping to keep your teeth clean and bright. Next time you're at the store, get some packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get plenty for your whole family, because Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a perfect all-family treat. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Bob Rennie played the part of Edward Duville and Bill Lipton was Sancho Loza. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, Hostage, on The FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.